Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Oh, turtle time, oh, turtle time. We're so happy to watch Bravo shows with our little turtle cuties and Villa Rosa VIPs. We love you all and wish you happy holidays this time of year.
Thank you for being with us for turtle time.
Amy!
Riley!
Did you hear the Turtle Time holiday intro?
Just faintly in the distance.
Wow. Was it like sort of like if a Christmas caroler was outside shouting from far away and you could only hear it a little bit?
Yeah, because I couldn't let them in because I have COVID.
Oh, right. yeah. Did you want to? I didn't know if you wanted to say that
I'll violate my own HIPAA.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't going
to
say
it. The other day that I was supposed to go to the Madonna Inn, and now I can't because I have COVID. It is like the faintest line. I feel totally fine, but we were going to be visiting Jimmy's grandma, and I was like, I'm not fucking around with the elderly.
Could you imagine? Yeah.
Yeah.
She would have been so pissed.
In my turtle den watching old Roni. So I didn't get to go either on my trip or to your birthday. Was it?
I'm so sorry. Well, first and foremost, it's worse that you didn't get to go to the Madonna Inn with Jimmy's grandma. But my birthday, I'll say, was a certified turtle success because six people showed up for me. We all had almost a full row of the Alamo Draft House. Everybody bought me a few drinks. So I drank a margarita. I drank about two beers while Poor Things was on the screen. And it was fun. I loved the movie. And then I loved talking about the movie with my friends after at Alamo Draft House.
You were like, let's pour things.
I should have said that. And I would have been, they would have considered me one of the funniest people on their birthday if I would have said something like that. We were pouring things into different cups, alcohol-wise. Is that what you meant?
Totally.
Well, yeah. So it was a very fun birthday. And then I told you just before, but we only stayed at the Alamo Draft House bar and just had a few drinks and just really discussed this film. You know, it felt like a full, like, you know, meeting of the minds about this movie. And then we left and I just came home and drank eggnog.
Love that.
Yeah, it was fun. But I'm sorry. I don't want to sound too cheerful when you're going through what you're going through.
No, it's fine. I'm taking it as a gift from the universe to relax and do nothing.
What a gift. That's amazing. I'm ready for that too. I think starting tomorrow and after this recording session, I got to do some like shit because, you know, I'm traveling tomorrow, but I'm ready to do that as well. It's time to take a turtle time rest.
Yes.
Do you
put
think
away
our
childish things?
I want to. 2023 was the year of childish things. I always said that. I said, I'm partaking in childish things. 2024 is the year of the adult, right?
Yeah.
And Turtle Time is going to grow up into an adult.
I hope so. This make that big adult cash.
Oh, man. Because, yeah, right now we're getting lemonade stand money like we're a little kid that gets allowance from their parents, like pocket change. Like, here's a quarter. Yeah. Or Tooth Fairy money, I guess, is another.
Milk money.
Milk money. You can keep going on. Any form of kid-type monetary sustenance. But if we can get our druthers, obviously I want to upgrade to, like, you know, corporate money. Like, you know, cash in hand, weekly paychecks.
Zaslav, you know what I'm talking about? Cash.
Zaslav. Man, you don't think Turtle Time is going to be allowed to go on Warner Brothers Discovery HBO Max, right?
Like, they'll air our episodes on the platform?
Is there a precedent for a podcast, the video feed just being uploaded to one of those platforms?
I mean, we could be the first.
I think, actually, on Amazon Prime, you can upload your own content. I don't know if they still do that, but you could, like, create a show and, like, put it on Amazon. So maybe we should upload this to Amazon Prime. Would that be fun?
I like it. Yeah, me too. Reminder to everyone, we are on YouTube.
Right. If you've ever wondered what Amy and I do and look like and some of the visual references we say, you know, that's a good place to go. What I suggest is listen to us auditarily or through your ears, right?
Yeah.
Right? What's the right word for that?
Yeah.
Listen
auditory?
To us. Auditory? Yeah, listen to us in the auditory format. And then if there's any moments that you really liked, switch over to YouTube and see those exact moments in visual form, right?
Yeah, we're pretty.
Yeah, right? I
might not be smart, but I'm pretty.
Wow, Kristen Takeman. Was there a new Roni that I missed already? Or we're still waiting?
That's a good question. Maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
It might be Thursdays. Also, someone in the comments, you know, because we keep talking about Olivia Flowers' obsession with Elvis.
Yeah.
The caption on one of our posts was, "No one loves Elvis more than Olivia." And someone commented, "Kristen Takeman erasure." Because remember, she's like wanted to fuck Elvis.
Yes. Yes. I remember saying like she would want to get married by the Elvis impersonator in Vegas, but she'd be worried that she might fuck him afterwards, right?
Yeah. So... we should, I don't know, maybe we can make a montage of both.
Yeah, yeah. I hate to, I think it's just because Kristen has been sort of out of the conversation for about 8 years, so that I didn't remember that facet of her personality. But now that she's back in public consciousness, yes, she can be added to this. But can I tell you something that you already know, but maybe our little turtle cuties don't know?
Sure.
So Patricia Ashul, is that how you say her last name? I've never actually said it out loud. Whitney and Patricia
Ashul.
It's Atchel?
I don't know.
Oh.
There's a T, though.
Don't let Whitney marry Satchel.
Oh, my God. Or
right?
Do.
Or do. Anyway, Patricia, what you said is her last name and how it's pronounced. Seven is her TikTok. She's, like, new to TikTok. She's having the time of her life on TikTok. She showed Michael. I think I already said this. She showed Michael getting into his vehicle in Sarasota. She's posting a lot of fun stuff. She's like fully into TikTok. And she commented on the Olivia Elvis mystery TikTok that we talked about all the little secret things.
She like went back. She was digging into your account because that was not fresh.
She is living in my Southern Charm folder because I have a folder of all Southern Charm content. She's going through it. I mean, I swear she's liked about 8 videos of mine. Random stuff. BravoCon day one she liked. She liked me meeting Madison. And then finally, on the Olivia video, she said, "I'll solve your mystery, Riley. I bought that Elvis necklace at an auction for Whitney, and Whitney let Olivia borrow it." So I think that means that that's one of Elvis's actual necklaces, right?
That's insane.
Right, because she said, you wouldn't buy a Elvis-associated necklace, a non-Elvis necklace at an auction, right? I mean,
it's... Right, how much do you think that cost?
I bet. I mean, well, money means nothing to Patricia. I think she could have paid 50 grand or something. I mean, I'm just speculating.
That's
but
I was going to say, 50 grand.
What is on our mind? Are we just, you and I both want 50 grand so much, right? Is that, that's what's going on?
You should create a folder on TikTok where it's just the martini emoji is what it's called, and put any videos you want her to see in there because she would be drawn like a moth to a flame.
Oh, That is a good idea. You know what else you just made me think of is that if you and I did a Turtle Time, what's our drinking companion series called? Tipsy Turtle Club.
Tipsy Turtle Club.
If we did a Tipsy Turtle Club where we made her martini with the smashed bag and the ice, and we made the perfect one, and you and I sipped it, that is catnip for Patricia, right?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. And then, Amy, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but in 2024, we already talked about how on January 6th, we want to go to to Patricia's house and eat the frozen royal wedding cake. What if we also tested our martini skills with her and we taught her butler how to make better ones?
That would be great content.
Do you think, I mean, that I'm thinking this is going to require a full day at Patricia and Whitney's house. Is that okay with you?
Totally. I love it. I want to see it. I want to see all the rooms we've never seen. I want to see how grand it looks in person. I love it.
Me too. Yes, me too. And I will say, Patricia did not respond to the direct message asking if we could eat that cake. So that's sort of TBD, okay, if you don't mind.
Okay. And then maybe we can take her to the McDonald's drive-thru too.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I think we have a pretty well thought out day. I would say let's do McDonald's first, get her some McDonald's so she's really happy, then do the martini chugging contest so that she gets really, really drunk and we get drunk together. And then maybe finally she will say, I'm drunk enough and I love you two so much. You got me McDonald's and you made me a bunch of martinis. Please let's all go to the table and I am going to bring out this frozen royal wedding cake and we all can eat it together.
I love it.
Okay. Let's do it. Okay, and I forgot to ask. You're available on January 6th, right?
I might have to move a couple things. I have a standing event.
Okay, well, whatever. I mean, I know, I had some things too, but I will shift it around. I think we fly in January 5th, you know, and to get to there, January 6th, I think we should, though, plan for the full day at Patricia's, if you'll permit. So let's clear off our schedules.
Do you remember when I told you about how the morning show had an insurrection storyline?
I've never forgot it and think about it all the time.
So Reese Witherspoon on the show is dating Juliana Margulies.
Okay.
And she finds out about this cover-up. And so she's trying to dig and find to confirm it. So she calls Reese Witherspoon's brother because she knows, she had seen their texts talking about DC. And then she goes, have you ever been to DC before? Like, we should all go. And he goes, never been somehow. I don't know why. I just need to go sometimes. And she's like, you motherfucker.
Whoa. So it's basically
you're
what?
Lying.
So she knows because he's mentioned DC specifically in text. So wait, is it Juliana Margulies who is hot on the heels of this insurrectionist?
Reese Witherspoon is at the insurrection. She takes footage of an assault of a police officer.
She was there as a journalist, though, right? Sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. And then she realizes the attacker is unmasked and it's her brother. So she has this moral quandary of whether or not to delete the footage because she doesn't want her brother to get indicted. So she does delete it. But then her girlfriend, who's also a journalist, finds out and is disgusted and breaks up with her and is like, you make me sick. How do you even sit behind that desk?
Yeah, wow. I'm very surprised that Reese Witherspoon was okay with playing, you know, a character that would abandon their journalistic principles for their insurrectionist brother. That's kind of a...
Sure.
Kind of
but the last moment of the season is her and her brother meeting outside of the FBI.
Whoa.
Where they are going to walk in and implicate themselves.
Both of them.
Yeah, which so this... for her, it's like she has already, because of other reasons, partially that, quit her job at the morning show, spoiler. So she's just going to have to reconfigure her lifestyle anyway. But for the brother, I'm like, he's going to federal prison.
Yeah. Did they show was he one of the people that took a shit in Nancy Pelosi's office?
Potentially. They didn't show it, but.
They didn't show that specific moment. I'm really surprised I'm really surprised it's so January 6th coded.
I know. The thing is, I honestly get confused talking about it because I don't want to be wrong, but that I think was a flashback, or like they're like in the past slightly, like there was a COVID season. Like they're a little bit behind. So okay. I think they were like, well, that was the big story that year, you know?
So it's like Newsroom, if you ever watched Newsroom, exactly. Where it was like just 2 years past, but they wanted to like pretend like they were reporting on very contemporary events.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, I don't think I'm going to watch Morning Show, but hearing it isolated out of context like that from you is probably more entertaining than I could ever, you know, imagine the show could be.
Yeah, you don't need to watch it.
Do you mind if I just put a button on our January 6th conversation and the Patricia conversation?
Yeah, let's move on.
No. I was going to just say, no. You don't have to. No, we don't have to move on. I just want to say, first off, thank you so much to the people that let us know privately that they were insurrectionists. That helps Amy and I a lot in terms of, you know, sort of the 2024, you know, future assessment. So that was good. A lot of people publicly said they weren't there. So that also helps. Yeah. So anyway, that was good to know from last. And I actually like being able to talk, cause it's not so far in the past. Like we just are getting these updates just as of yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And then one last thing, just to button up the Patricia thing, January 6th and Patricia have nothing to do with each other. But I asked Patricia in that comment when she clarified where she got that necklace, I asked her, did she enjoy the Baz Luhrmann Elvis film? So she has not gotten back to me yet, but we might know definitively if her Elvis infatuation or someone's Elvis infatuation is centered around Baz Luhrmann's Elvis. Just, you know,
okay.
I just wanted to be a, you know, journalistic responsibility there. Take journalistic responsibility.
Yeah, we need all the information we can get.
Yeah, it's very in the background this entire season. Elvis is sort of not haunting, I don't want to be disrespectful, but he's sort of like a spirit in the background of this entire season.
Yeah, a specter.
Yes, that's a much better word. Yeah, he's a specter casting, you know, a shadow over this entire season. And with that in mind, with the ghost of Elvis sort of, you know, over our heads, would you ever want to talk about what we came here to talk about, which is the Winter House finale and reunion?
Let's do it. The end has come for Winter House.
The end has come. This episode, you know, just up front, I want to say I found a lot of sort of Christmas cheer in this episode. I like, you know.
You did?
Yeah. Like Schwartz and Katie's little date outside with Kyle peeking out of the frosted glass saying that's so adorable. That had sort of Christmas energy to me.
Also
Casey and Brian finally letting their horniness override their sensibilities and making out passionately felt a little, you know, like a mistletoe, you know, type kissing event.
Yeah.
It just felt...
That was a win for him.
That was a huge win for Brian. I was stunned when that happened. I think that's probably my favorite moment. Besides seeing Schwartz and Katie's, like, love blossom, like, or you know, like, they really seem great, but also Brian and Casey making out finally, that was so fun. I never imagined that would happen.
I know. I was happy for him. You know what was not Christmassy?
Can I guess?
Sure.
Anything related to Danielle?
Yeah, she was not sharing.
No, she didn't give Jordan a gift. She didn't give Alex a gift. Well, they both gave each other the gift of sex one last time, Alex and Danielle.
That's true.
They made love in the bathroom. Yeah. But you're right. Danielle, I would say, if we're extending this Christmas metaphor, she was not extending Christmas cheer at all in this house.
Yeah. Also, Sam had the Christmas blues.
She had the Christmas blues. Yeah, and I was just going to say, if anything, Danielle was sort of the opposite of whatever Santa would be, like almost a Grinch-esque figure in the house.
Yeah, Grinch or Scrooge.
Yeah, I was going to say Scrooge or, yeah. I mean, either one. I mean, whoever is the opposite of Santa, and both of those two people qualify.
Yeah.
Do you like Scrooge more than Grinch?
What's the end of Grinch? His heart grows. They have a similar journey.
They're very similar. Talk about two people who probably get along. He sees the Who's all singing after he took all their presents, and they don't give a shit about their presents, which that can never be me. That was horrible. He took every single present, but they still bonded over just pure love of each other and the Christmas spirit. And then when he sees that, he says it's not all about gifts. His heart enlarges four times.
Got it. You know who, what a Grinchy statement on this episode was? Corey is forced to define his relationship with Sam basically at gunpoint.
Yes.
And he's like, well, my mom always says shit or get off the pot. So I guess we're shitting, baby. And I was like, that's disgusting.
Yeah. So that 2 minutes where they define their relationship and he makes it a metaphor about taking a huge shit. I hope Sam has watched this now. I'm sure she has and is thinking about things, about how Corey acted. There's also the minute after. So we can just talk about the scene because it's really the most important thing that comes up. Sam is so upset. She immediately goes from fighting with Malia to just confiding in Malia that she is so upset. Mm-hmm. She has no idea what happened before her. She has no idea what Corey has done. He's not defining the relationship. She's just so upset about it. So Corey has to go in there to console her. And she goes, I guess I want to define the relationship now, you know, will you tell me, what are we? And he goes, well, I guess technically we're boyfriend and girlfriend, right? And she goes, yeah, right? He says, technically, I guess we are.
Yeah. And then he's like, that felt so high school, like so lame that you even had to do that. And she's like, I know, that's why I didn't want to. And it's like, so sad.
Yeah, it was really sad. I mean, I think that they should have both just come to the conclusion with each other that you don't have to specifically label it, but we're just not fucking other people, right? This is an exclusive relationship. I feel like that's when people become boyfriend and girlfriend, once you're exclusive.
Right.
So I felt...
Yeah, she clearly wants to say, I love you, but is still too scared, which she should be.
I was really... she should be. I was really shocked that she hadn't said, I love you to him.
Yeah. I felt bad for her, but also it's like, girl, like, fuck him.
Yeah, I mean, he does not come off very well. I mean, in this at all. So then he says, like, technically, I guess we are. Then he makes fun of her for having to define it. Then he said that was like taking a big shit. I guess me and Sam are shitting together as in a relationship.
Yeah.
And then when they go, when Sam goes, guess who's technically my boyfriend? He has this look on his face like he's so bummed out. He goes, I was going to do it in my own time, but I guess you guys all won.
Yeah, and then not to jump ahead, but at the reunion, it's clear that they're like not doing well. Like she's like so upset still, and he's like in the doghouse, and she brings up that it's really put a strain on their relationship and that it comes up like every day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh shit. Cause like on Instagram, it always seems like she always does those carousels of their photos and like licking each other's tongues and shit. I always thought they were like good now, but it seems like maybe watching the season back like was really bad.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I mean, I would have assumed that they said that they were in love with each other at this point. That was shocking to me. Also, I was trying to remember at BravoCon, we saw Corey and he was not with Sam. Not that you always have to be with your partner, but he was just clearly having an alone night on a Saturday with just some other random people that were there, Maya and whoever else. So I didn't see any evidence of them together, but it could have just been maybe they did different things that night or something. But who knows?
Right.
I mean, it's not a beautiful Bravo start for them. It's like one of the worst starts to a relationship I've ever seen.
Totally. Also, this is a throwaway item, but there was a moment when Schwartz reveals that he used to have a foot fetish, but he doesn't anymore, which I feel like has been a little bit implied by Katie and stuff when she was like, he better lick the toe jam from my feet or whatever. But he says no more. So maybe it was more her thing.
Yeah. So early in season one or two, I remember because we did our recap on Patreon. I remember Schwartz being like, or hearing it. Oh, bless you. A little Christmas sneeze.
Achoo.
I remember him saying he had a foot fetish, and then it's not until later that Jax admits that he has one for stinky feet. So okay. Schwartz was really the pioneer of saying foot fetish, and I wonder how he was able to resolve that.
Overcome.
Maybe it was the yeah. one time Katie decided to actually run a mile in her shoes and came back after stepping in and made him lick. God. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay. Enough of that.
Should I cut that out?
That's the limit.
Okay. Well, yeah. So it seems like he's moved past. That as a yeah, like you yeah. said.
Okay, so we're kind of like breezing through, but already Amanda is leaving. She's gone. She provided nothing.
Well, yeah. I mean, okay. I would say objectively, you could say Amanda wasn't there long and didn't. You know, I don't know. Have. Some vibrant moments it stuck out, but I didn't understand why she was leaving early because it felt like she left like 6 hours early or something. Like, or
right.
I guess, was it a full day? Like, I don't know. I don't think she enjoyed this winter house experience very much at all. She got hit in the head with a football. She had to just check in on Danielle constantly. And then
she had diarrhea.
She was sick. And then she left, like 24 hours before everybody else did. So I just think that her time on the show was there wasn't enough time for her to make an impact. They had that pregnancy yeah. test thing, but one could say that they most likely probably knew that they weren't pregnant when they took that test.
For sure. Did you like, this is another throwaway moment, but Brian's Tiger King bit?
I loved it. So right after Casey, I thought this was so sweet and fun because all these moments happen like all around each other because they're all just so drunk. But Brian's like sitting in bed with Alex and Casey comes over and she like on top of Alex, like right in front of Alex, just starts making out with Brian powerfully. And then Jordan gets Alex out of there and they just continue to make out. And then was it the next morning or after their makeout sesh that he takes her hair extensions, he puts them on and he says, "Look at me. I'm just like Tiger King." Right?
Joe Exotic, baby.
Amy, I want to apologize. I'm so sorry I said that thing about Katie, her feet. I shouldn't have said that. I just meant that maybe she did something really gross and that was the final straw for Schwartz. Is that okay?
That's okay.
Do you want me to cut that part out?
No. Now my brain has transferred to the Carole Baskin song.
Oh, right. Of course. We've talked about that many
Carole
times,
Baskin
right?
Carole Baskin killed her. Husband whacked him.
Yeah.
Can't convince me that it didn't happen.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of the things that we talk about start to come alive in the universe, right?
It's true. We're manifesting.
Yeah, so we manifested that. Then also, so in addition to Casey and Brian kissing, Corey and Sam, you know, becoming boyfriend and girlfriend, Schwartz decides, which this was a complete shock to me. I really thought Schwartz was going to be like, what's that metaphor again? Like withdrawn and sort of like, you know, like he had got back to his LA brain and thought this would all be like so shitty to view on camera once he was like Scandoval minded again. But no,
yeah,
he does the opposite. He says, "I'm ready to do stuff with Katie. Like I'm going to say her name. I'm going to sleep in the same bed two nights in a row. And I'm going to take her on a little date outside."
He apologizes for his shtick.
Yes.
Which was self-aware.
Yeah, very self-aware. And I thought, okay, so first off, we've never seen Schwartz flirty and charming and trying to win someone over and in a relationship where the other person really likes him. Because I feel like Katie and Schwartz, I mean, no offense to them, but they had loving moments, but we never saw the initial like chemistry and spark of them like coming together, you know? And so we haven't seen Schwartz in this environment, like in early stages of a potential relationship. And I thought it was really sweet. Like him and Katie have a very good rapport.
Yeah, he said that she reminds him why he likes himself, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah, that was really sweet.
He said that his friends in LA are a crazy toxic cesspool.
Yep. That I was shocked because we've referred to that friend group as that, is like they have such a toxic, you know, toxic dynamics. But him saying that, I was like, damn, that's your friend group and that's your show.
Especially at that time.
Yes. You know? Yes, for sure. But I guess, you know, being with the Winterhouse people, he's just like, wow, there's a whole other alternate Bravo Liberty universe where things are not as, like, you know, horrible and whatever, you know, like cheating and infidelity and stuff. Like, the Winterhouse thing must have been just such a breath of fresh air
it's
to be around those
friends. Revelation. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then after they come in from their date or whatever, he to the group, he's like, I just proposed to Katie. And she goes, I'm out of the friend zone.
It was so sweet. And so later after, like the next day, he says, I'm sorry for a really shitty date. But I thought that date was cute. I mean, I guess, but there wasn't anything there. Like, they didn't open the champagne. And it was probably too cold or something. So is that why he referred to the date as shitty?
He said it was shitty.
Yeah, when they're leaving, when they're finally saying goodbye to each other, he goes, I want to go on a date with you in Los Angeles to make up for that really shitty date that we had last night. But I didn't think it was shitty. I wonder if they cut out some moment that really sucked. I thought it was cute and sweet like Kyle did.
It was short, but...
Yeah, it was very short. I also love the moment where Schwartz and Katie are kind of scampering arm in arm out to go on their date, and Kyle sees them, and it's like he catches them in a moment, and he goes, arms locked, I'm loving this. I thought that was a really fun Kyle moment. He was being so sweet about them.
Yeah, he's definitely like the voice of the house.
Yeah.
At one point, I think that it's like when they're like getting ready or something, but I just have to say this because I feel like it's been a while since there was a lot of like hidden camera stuff on this show. Like, I feel like Summer House used to be all about that. At one point on this episode, Corey puts like a towel over the camera so that they can have sex. But at one point, Sam is like changing and her tits are just out and they blurred as little as humanly possible to the point that it was like shocking.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I noticed that too, just because it's something visually that was happening on screen, not for any other reason. And it's like they blurred out, like, I'm going to get graphic for a second. Is that okay? It's like they blurred out what?
Get to the medical details.
Medically, it was like the editors blurred out maybe one single pixel around her nipples. I'm not saying this in it. I'm just saying specifically so that it looked like you're just watching her completely naked. Like, the amount of blurring they did was basically none. I've never seen them do that type of blurring before. Like, ever.
I know, usually it would just be like a strip across the whole tits, but it was like literally like just the areola.
Do you think that was just like a Winterhouse like exclusive? It's like, if we're going to see bare breasts on camera, this is how we're going to blur them. That's the Winterhouse vibe?
Winterhouse way.
The Warehouse way. And did Sam agree to this new type of blurring nudity where it's like, you know, your full breast is basically shown? I thought that was remarkable too.
Yeah, she was like, if you're gonna show them, show them.
Do you think she said that?
Maybe.
Maybe it's just because
she has, and I can say this as a woman, she has tiny titties. So maybe they decided that they were less
impactful,
shocking than big titties.
You know what, I didn't think about the tiny titty big titty what's that, the sort of
the
spectrum,
itty bitty titty committee.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking in terms of that. I just thought that they applied new principles to Sam's nudity, but when you put it like that, where it's clearly she's on a different end of you know, those two breast related spectrums, that makes more sense. So
rude to the big titty committee, but
you think so?
It's like saying that they're more offensive. But anyways,
you're right. Can I say one thing before we move off? I don't. I want to move off from the breast talk, and I just want to go back to Casey, because when she was making out with Brian, she goes, "Brian, guess what? You know we can make out tomorrow, right?" And Brian's like, "I love that. I can't wait," or something like that. I thought that was really sweet. And Casey has a couple good moments this episode. I have to ask now that we're at the end of Winterhouse. Do you like/enjoy Casey as a Bravo celebrity?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I appreciated how straightforward she was in her apology to Sam. Like, I was like, great. Like, no nonsense. Just be like, I was being a bitch. What was I thinking? Like, because that's what I would do. Like, just let's move past this. It didn't mean anything. It wasn't that deep. Like, let's just move on. And her making out with Brian was fun. Do I need her to be a regular? No, but I wouldn't be like, oh God, she's back. Like, I definitely like her more now.
Well, good. That's the answer I wanted to hear. I fully enjoy Casey's presence on the show. Making out with Brian was just an added bonus, but I thought it was so funny when she was eating all that raw meat standing up and she looked like the most hungover you've ever seen a human. Her apologies are like getting standing ovations from Andy and the other people at the reunion. An apology so good that Andy says, I want you to teach other housewives how to apologize. That's rare. I mean, an apology that is, and she already did it with Corey. She already gave him the perfect apology. Like, that conflict with Sam was so nipped in the bud strategically by Casey in every single way that anytime anybody tried to bring it up again, she successfully got out of it every single time, to the point where at the end, she's getting a standing O for her apology. I mean, I think there's something remarkable about that.
Totally. And I did love the moment when she was so passed out that she was just in bed with Schwartz and Katie. And Katie, I assume, is like even darker than you can imagine in there, like pitch black, because Katie's like his foot is like on Casey's face. Katie's like, what is this? Like, big lump. And it's just like, she never wakes up.
Yeah. She grabs a purse and she thinks it's just a purse on the bed. And then she finds out the purse is just attached to Casey in their bed. And then she has to pull Casey out of there, just fully passed out. I thought that was so fun too. All of this, it's really like, I mean, I really did feel like last night energy from this. Like, they got pizza, they went to the bar, they were all partying, whoever wanted to hook up, hooked up. Like, there was a lot of, like, finality to this, like, a lot of closure there. And then Danielle provided her own sort of closure, which is just finally going toe-to-toe with Jordan about Jordan potentially flirting. It finally just came to a head, and she finally had to scream at Jordan.
There was almost violence.
Almost violence. Danielle kept saying something like...
Did you see Alex's face when she stormed in? Alex was like, I don't even know what he was doing. He was just sort of like hugging up on Jordan. Like, they were kind of like joking around and being touchy-feely. And Danielle like busts in the middle of them. And Alex is like, his reaction is in slow motion. He's like, what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He hadn't, like, this was his worst nightmare. This was the thing that he was trying to avoid. But he didn't, I don't know. I mean, his flirting with Jordan, they're flirting with each other. I'm not just putting it fully on him. They're flirting with each other did get egregious, towards the end. I mean, I respect their friendship and their camaraderie, but it's kind of like almost ridiculous after you've already seen how Danielle acts to think that that's justifiable after you've been sleeping with her. I mean, they just got done. Her and Danielle, I think, had sex like that night or, he's continuing to have sex with her despite all of these, he thinks, red flags that he's seeing that are making him want to withdraw, but he's continuing to have sex with her. So it's like, at a certain point, you do have to change your pattern if the same result keeps happening every time. You know what I mean?
Sure. And same for her. If you keep getting pissed off at him, then stop fucking him.
You're right. You're right. There is some onus on Danielle. Sorry, I'm having a little bit of a dog issue right now. Good. One second.
Kind of like... The Ciara Lindsay Hubbard thing where when Austin came to town and Hub House was just all over his dick, even though he had just had a bad situation with Sierra.
Yes.
And yeah, it's like, you know what's going on, so just be mindful. But Danielle busts in. She's like, if you were a cool girl, you wouldn't always be flirting and on top of someone who you know is fucking me. Yeah. And she's like, can you talk to him? Like, this is his problem, not mine.
Yes.
And she's like, you know I'm fucking this man, and you still shake your ass in front of him.
Yeah. She says, I will eat you alive. And Jordan goes, well, I'm standing right here, and you're not even close to eating me, right?
Yeah, she's like, you're really fucking lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, so this, I mean, you know, this was, I guess, you know, you could imagine that this was going to happen eventually. Danielle was just drunk and mad enough to go after Jordan. And it doesn't get really resolved, because Danielle's apology is more like the next day. She's kind of like, sorry that had to happen, but what the hell were you doing with Alex? You know what I mean?
I know. I was like, surely this is going to be her hat in hand. Like, that was ridiculous. I'm so sorry. I should not have responded that way. And she goes, instead, she's like, I really hated how last night went. Why were you flirting with him like that?
Right. Do you think Jordan was like what is Jordan's motive? I mean, do you think she's being unnecessarily flirty with Alex? Or do you, like, how do you feel about Jordan's intentions with what she is doing with Alex? Is this, like, friendly, but friendly flirty? Or I want to keep this guy on the sidelines in case I want him?
Friendly flirting, but also, since Danielle has now treated her poorly about this, I think she's kind of like, well, fuck you then. I'm going to keep doing this if you're going to be insane.
Right. Yeah, and also, in Jordan's defense, you know, Danielle said one of the meanest things in the world to her like 2 days ago about how she's providing no energy to the household because she doesn't have a man that has a crush on her or whatever.
Right.
So,
yeah, Danielle handled it all wrong. Like, she could have just been like, hey, like, I'm feeling really insecure. Like, I've been in a long-term relationship for many years. I don't really know how to handle this. I'm vibing with Alex right now. Like, can you just, like, do you understand what I'm saying? You know what I mean? But instead she was like, bitch, I'll fucking eat you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So really, like, everything was sort of, sort of a happy ending to the Winter House, you know, chapter or, you know, season. Mostly everyone has sort of a fun moment. Schwartz and Katie, Brian and Casey, Sam and Corey, you could say subjectively, that was a happy ending. And then Danielle and Jordan and Alex just have sort of a rift that ends their time, and it doesn't get resolved. So it's almost like that's why we had to have a reunion, because otherwise, I don't know how much it was a necessity to have a reunion for Winter House. And that's something I wanted to ask you about once we're ready to talk about the reunion, if we are.
Yeah. No, an hour was kind of a lot. There wasn't that much to cover. The last thing I want to say about the episode before we go to the reunion is the last thing that Floody and Schwartz say to each other. They're saying how they're going to meet up again in LA. And she goes, you owe me a trip to Universal Studios and whatever Jumbo's is. And he's like, well, you'll find out. And I was like, oh, shit. So now when we go to Jumbo's, we have to look out for Schwartz. And now whenever I go to Schwartz and Sandy's or Tom Tom, I should wear my Jumbo's clown room hat so that he'll talk to me for like an hour.
Yes, that's true. I've never been to Jumbo's clown room. Is it fun?
It's awesome. Do you think, I don't know how different girlies are about, like, it's okay for people that don't know, in LA, it's a strip mall, like divey. I won't call it a strip club because they don't strip. They stay like, it's almost like burlesque. Like, they're like punk rock strippers, but they don't get nude. I think it's topless, or maybe they wear like pasties. Whenever I go there, I'm like so drunk. Sorry, guys. I am trouble. But it's really fun. The girls are really cool and aspirational. They play cool music. Cool. It'll be like either like hair metal or like Hole or like, you know, they're just like cool chicks. And so they feel very empowered. And it's like not depressing the way I think a regular strip club is, where you're like, I feel bad for them. This is demeaning. Like, this sucks. I wish they didn't have to do this. With them, I'm like, oh, I feel like they're going to kick my ass. Like, they're cooler than me. They probably make more money than me. They're awesome. And it's really fun.
Cool. Wow. Well, I want to go. I want to go someday. And I love that Schwartz loves it. And I do think you should wear a Jumbo's Clown Room hat next time to foster a conversation.
Totally. He would, a Coors Light and a Jumbo's hat, I'd be like, I could eat him up.
You totally could. Imagine if we went to Jumbo's Clown Room or separately and we saw Tom and Katie just sitting there on a date having the time of their lives.
Oh, that'd be so cute. I would freak out.
Yeah. Oh, I did want to say one last thing before we also go to the reunion, is that I like when Schwartz did his recap of how him and Alex became best friends, when he was like, I sort of lost my very best friend Sandoval during Scandoval. Yeah. And I've really loved me and Alex's friendship. And then their montage of their friendship moments was actually so funny. It's like, you took my breath away. Like, they actually had such good camaraderie as to, you know, just like, I don't know if he had ever met him before this. I don't know if he had. And they were just so, their personalities meshed so well. They were so funny together.
Yeah, I feel like the only time I even enjoyed Alex was in that dynamic.
Damn, I'm not so down on Alex like you are. I know he's hurting people's hearts and breaking hearts and not adhering to the rules of sexual relationships, but I thought he had a good personality and he was fun.
Yeah. He's not my favorite.
Okay. okay. Is he in your bottom two?
No. I just, like, I didn't feel that his personality shone too much outside of him just being constantly horny.
Okay.
Which I feel like got a little boring, but maybe right, he'll grow on me.
Okay. Well, no, yeah. I mean, no problem if he doesn't. I understand. So I guess to lead us into the reunion talk, so the reunion, this was sort of unprecedented in terms of a modern Bravo show that gets a clubhouse reunion for 42 minutes. That's what it was. It's an hour, but 42 minutes. So, I mean, that's like a Watch What Happens Live almost, like, just bring them all on. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if it was a last minute decision to have a reunion, if they knew they just had to resolve the Alex, Jordan, Danielle dynamic and maybe the Sam dynamic, but I don't know. Just what do you think was going on for why this? I mean, it doesn't necessitate a two-part reunion, but then you ask, does it necessitate any reunion?
Right. Well, I still have not cut the cord, so I watch on regular TV, so I recorded it, and they do this all the time with Watch What Happens, but Winter House was 2 hours, and this was just built in.
Oh, right.
So it just, like, automatically recorded it. I think they were probably like, hey, like, we would usually have a Watch What Happens here for 30 minutes. Let's make it an hour because it's leading straight in. We have Schwartz, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like that must mean that Winter House did pretty well. I haven't looked into it, but.
I mean, I think so. I think the fact that it got a reunion for the first time is a mark of quality for sure. Did you have moments that you appreciated from the reunion? Was there anything that you were glad to see?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the Schwartz of it all is, like, the most fun because we haven't really had, like, access to him. At one point, he reveals that he has baby fever real bad.
Yeah. He wants a
baby. I was shocked.
Me too, actually. He wants a baby ASAP. I also was thinking, like, all of a sudden, because they kept the Schwartz and Katie dynamic so under wraps and never really teased it, they didn't even tease that he was, like, coming back to Winter House after Scandoval. Like, they really kept, I was like, are we going to be, is it, could it possibly be revealed that Katie and Tom are just dating, like, now? Because, I don't know, I guess we would have learned at BravoCon, possibly, but if they would have just announced, like, hey, we've actually been dating this entire time, I wouldn't have been surprised, just from how well they left things.
Yeah, they said on here that they talk sporadically. And when he did talk about having baby fever, he was like, but who knows when that will happen, because I still have to meet a whole new person. And it was kind of awkward because she was right next to him.
Yeah.
And Kyle and Amanda were talking about their journey and if how quickly they're going to do it. And the conversation ended with Andy looking at them and being like, I think you're good to wait.
Yeah. Why did he say
it's
that?
It's like, burn.
Yeah. Why do you think he said that?
But also Andy waited until he was like 50. So maybe that's his point of view of like, he respects party boys partying for as long as possible.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's possibly what he meant, I guess. I don't know. It sounded like you just added his like commentary sort of unnecessarily, you know,
yeah,
to their relationship. But I don't know. I mean, I guess that's just his actual take on it.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel like the none of the Danielle shit really got resolved. It was kind of just like the same. Like she was like, I'm pissed. Danielle was like, I regret nothing. Alex was like, still doesn't really care. I was trying to see if I feel like Andy was a little more on Alex's side, because again, he is pro, I think, free love.
Yeah. He led the conversation by saying, so Danielle, it's safe to say that you're not a fan of casual hookups, right?
Yeah. Well, that's like in, as I've said before, I'm rewatching Roni season 3, and when Kelly is like anti one night stand, she like morphs it, bastardizes the idea of a one night stand into calling it like unsafe sex.
Yeah.
And at the reunion they all have to be like, you can use protection during a one night stand, it's not like that. And she was like, I'm pro safe sex. And it's like, yeah, everyone is, you freak.
Right. Yeah. Who's a pro unsafe sex?
But yeah, so that situation was just kind of like, okay, whatever. Danielle was like, it's a respect thing, which I get, but you know, it's kind of like beating a dead horse at this point.
Right. I don't think that they will come to a, like, they just have a complete difference of opinions about what happened, you know, at the house.
Yeah. And Amanda, Andy is messy and asks Amanda what she thinks about it. And she's like, having a friend with benefits is just inherently messy. And she was like, that's why I don't do that. I mean, she's married, but I guess historically, right. It is kind of like you have to be strong in your convictions to have a relationship like that, like Samantha on Sex and the City or something. Cause like, if you get offended by the blurred lines of that relationship, then maybe you shouldn't engage in those types of relationships.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just, I mean, that's the main conflict of the entire season. And I think it's just not a big enough deal to where anybody really needs to, you know, have a strong resolution on it. It just is like, okay, we're obviously not going to date after this. You know, we didn't have a good time. We didn't have fun at all, ultimately, hooking up.
Not worth it.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting when Sam was sort of re-mad at Malia. You know, which I was like, you guys resolve this, you know, but she was like, there's even more like spitting into mouths that you didn't see on camera, which I was like, okay, good. But then she goes, Corey goes, which I've never heard of this before, but Malia's like, I didn't want to have anything to do with Corey. You're flattering yourself or whatever. And Corey goes, Malia, you would have fucked me if you could. I was like,
that was insane.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell? You're telling her that she absolutely would have had sex with you when she said she wouldn't? Like, why?
Right. I know.
And also, why say that in front of your new girlfriend right next to you? It's like,
right.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like, is there anything endearing about Corey?
No.
Anymore?
When it was so sad that Sam was specifically brokenhearted about the spitting in the mouth, because she was like, that's our thing. She said that? She's like, try a little harder to be me. Like, she's like, you were trying to be like me, because that's our thing. We like lick each other's tongues and spit in each other's mouth. And they like, I think they showed like a montage or like a flashback of them like licking each other's tongues.
Yeah. Do you know who else was spitting in mouths? Remember on Southern Charm, JT and Taylor did a little bit of sucking up tequila and spitting it into each other's mouths. This is like a new thing. I don't ever do
this. Post-COVID?
Do you think it's because people are sort of rebelling against COVID consciousness, so now they're so excited to be spitting drinks into each other's mouths again?
I guess. But yeah, like, I feel like Sam reverted, like, all the work that had been done. And even though she's mad at Corey, was still blaming everyone else.
Yeah.
Like, she was still mad that Jordan, like, knocked on his door or whatever. And it's like, yeah, because he told everyone that he was available, basically.
Yeah.
So, like, it was weird. And then it was funny that Malia was just, like, in Martinique, like, on a boat with, like, her AirPods, just like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Right. Like, she didn't have to be very involved at all. She's just, like, listening in her AirPods, just being like, okay, I don't know what you guys want to say to me.
Yeah, did you like when she was like, Andy, you should come out and do a charter? And he's like, I would love to do that off camera.
He said that.
He could totally afford, if anyone could, it's him.
Oh, yeah, for sure he could afford that. He just wouldn't want it filmed, he said.
Yeah, I mean, why would he?
Right.
But that would be amazing. That, I mean, that would be a good episode.
Yeah.
He already takes vacations like that. I know he, in his book, he always goes on a yacht with, like, Diane von Furstenberg and, like, Anderson and other people. Like, he already lives that lifestyle, but I'm like, just do it for fun. Like, just do a 2-day charter for the show. That would be really fun to watch.
Yeah, that would be, yeah, that would be fun. I need to watch Below Deck more to get a sense of how Andy, like, what that would be like for Andy. But I guess, I mean, he'd want to bring friends, right? It couldn't just be them all, like, serving Andy food and stuff.
He's just alone. Yeah. okay. The main other thing is, just they talk about Schwartz and Katie for a while. At one point they call out that they hung out in LA and that when she went to go film her confessionals in LA, that she had a fat bruise on her forehead that they were implying was like from sex.
Yeah. And they didn't, they didn't officially deny that, right?
No, she was kind of like giggling and he goes, I took her on a little WeHo crawl. So like, we could have seen them out and about. Like, do you think they went to Tom Tom and Sir and maybe Pump, depending on when it was?
I really don't know. But I mean, yeah, it sounds like we could have been there at any time when they were walking around. That would have been wild. I wouldn't have known who Katie Flood was at that right. point.
Yeah. He says, Schwartz is like, you know, I was just so nervous about fucking up again because when I kissed you know who, aka Rachel, I got in so much trouble and like offended everyone. And Andy was like, Schwartz, how many times do we have to go over this? Katie only told you that you're not allowed to hook up with who? And he goes, people in the friend group. And he's like, okay.
And then he said, Katie in your friend group. And he goes, no. That was great. That was a good moment of Andy
She is in the Bravo universe, which I guess I understand that a little bit because, like, it's not a totally anonymous person and it will be on camera and whatever. But then Schwartz says that Katie Maloney is a fan of Floody.
I know. I like that. I mean, who wouldn't be? Katie Flood has not done one, like, weird, mean, shitty thing, like, her entire time. Like, she's only been nice, sweet, funny, liked Schwartz, like, there's just nothing bad about her at all.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we've come to an end on Winter House. It was a perfect length.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think it would have worn out its welcome if it was like two more episodes. It'd be like, okay, you know, how long can you guys have this much stuff going on in the Winter House? It felt the perfect amount of time. And for me, I mean, it was very fun the entire, all the way through. Was it 9 episodes? And I think the reunion was 10?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it felt good. I mean, for me personally, you know, I just thought it was so fun. It's such a party-centric show where they don't want things to get too heavy. You know, like Summer House originally was just about partying with your friends. So Winter House is that same ethos. So I really love that. And I loved seeing Schwartz at this particular time in his life where he got to have this like oasis in the midst of like the worst time of his life, you know, with Scandoval. So that was also great as a time capsule. And seeing him with Katie, where like seeing a future with someone who really loves him and that he like respects was interesting to watch.
For sure. No, it was cute. It was low key. I liked it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I mean, I liked it. I liked every single episode. I thought it was so fun. I think it's a different thrill that I get watching Winter House, where it's just you're watching the under 42s party their ass off and hook up with each other potentially. And there's a little bit of conflict there if someone likes two people at the same time or whatever. But it's all very low level, fun, vicarious party energy that you're watching.
Yeah. So like that's checked off our list. I feel like Salt Lake will be done in the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I think, yeah, because I think next week, you watch Salt Lake City. Next week is the finale, I think, right?
Is it, or are they going to put it on pause for the holidays?
You're right. I'm not sure. I did not watch, full disclosure, I did not watch Salt Lake City yet. I was at Poor Things at Alamo Drafthouse for about 8 hours yesterday, so I didn't see that or Beverly Hills, but I think Salt Lake City is ending, well, 4 episodes with the reunion, so probably you're right, like early next year.
The main thing, we'll talk about it later, but speaking of blurring titties, Whitney's tits get blurred a lot in this episode. And then she runs after Heather in the parking lot, which was in the preview, but she says that Heather exploited her vagina in her book.
Oh yeah. I did catch the last like 8 minutes of that episode because it was on before Winter House. And I am so upset with Whitney for finally reading the book and pretending like she's just hearing these things for the first time about herself. She is so awful to Heather, which is something I've said this entire season. She really is just coming for Heather. Like, she wants Heather dead, metaphorically. Like, I feel like she wants Heather fired off the show just because she wants to be the number one snowflake holder.
Bad Mormon.
Bad Mormon. And she thinks that Heather is like taking the spotlight and is more beloved than her. It's like, it's awful to watch. Heather was her ride or die loyal cousin.
It's ridiculous to put yourself out there so boldly sexually. And then when someone else doesn't want to do the same, to claim that they're shaming you for it. It's like, you're the one that talks about sex all the time. Like, that's kind of your thing.
Right.
So it's weird.
It was worst case scenario for me giving Whitney kudos for finally reading the book. And then you make it a storyline against Heather, which is just awful. So I'm going to watch that. I also heard Beverly Hills was good.
It was good.
Any little teaser you could provide me for people who maybe haven't watched yet, and I could be just like them where I'm learning from you?
Well, first of all, there's more Kim. She's at this event again, She has a pretty funny line where she breaks the tension. I won't spoil it. It's funny though. One of the guests of this party is Bill Burr's wife.
Bill Burr, the comedian.
Yeah.
His wife?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Like, her name is Nia. And she starts up some ruckus about Magic Mike. She is kind of down to clown. She's like, so I heard someone here didn't like Magic Mike. Can we talk about it?
Are they setting Bill Burr's wife up as a friend of?
Maybe. I mean, whoa. She was entertaining to me. I've seen some stuff of her online before, where she like, there's a photo of her like flipping off Donald Trump, like at an event. So I've always been like, oh, his wife is cool.
Wow. Will Bill Burr be on it then?
Maybe. Maybe he can hang out with Mauricio and PK.
Bill Burr as a house husband on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills would be sort of interesting. I don't know too much about him. I saw him on The Mandalorian. Yeah. I know he's a humorous man. I don't know his comedy very well, but I feel like he'd bring a compelling energy to as a house husband on Beverly Hills.
Yeah, maybe he can take Michael Rapaport's place in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I mean, that would be very interesting. I don't know if the Bravo universe could have Bill Burr and Michael Rapaport at the same time.
Yeah. And then Sutton, again, it keeps coming up where I'm like, whenever she talks, it makes no sense. And I'm like, are you drunk? Like, what is happening? So she, at one point, there's drama and Dorit says something she doesn't like. And she goes, why did you bring it up? 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 I lost count. She said it so many times, so even more times than name 'em.
Another sort of name 'em-esque moment where she repeats one thing over and over again that happens?
It was like over 10 times.
What does she say over and over again?
Why did you bring it up?
Why did you bring it up? Over and over again. Okay. All right. I'm tantalized.
Then she does like a speech that makes no fucking sense. Everyone is like rolling their eyes and like confused. They're doing the full Winona Ryder thing where she's talking about her accomplishments and she uses the word accomplished like 400 times. And there's a Kyle impression.
Can I ask a question? Is the Kyle impression bad or good?
It's fine. It's not like, it's not extremely dedicated. It's kind of like off the cuff in a confessional, you know?
Yeah.
Full Denise versus Erica.
Wow. So Denise is like really in it this season. Well, good. I'm intrigued. Obviously, I'll be watching it. And you just teed it up to my expectations being very high. I'm loving this season of Beverly Hills. I'm like... We were, you and I collectively were like sad after Vanderpump Rules and we were saying, will Bravo ever be good again? Could it ever get this good? But Salt Lake City is fucking ripping. Like one of the best seasons of Bravo I've ever seen. I love this season. Beverly Hills is starting off great. Southern Charm, I know they're only talking about one thing over and over again, but Southern Charm is good.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, so we're living in a golden era, I think, right now.
Yeah. And then, Vanderpump coming soon and the dissolution
Smog. Yeah. Oh,
what's the word?
Yeah, the Desolation of Smog was the second Hobbit film
of Hub Rad House.
Oh, I keep forgetting that they haven't given us a Summer House trailer yet, and that's supposed to be premiering just after Vanderpump. Give Summer House some love. I think they must still be like editing this shit to have the Carl Lindsay stuff in it, but. You're right. You've said it before. I'm just almost as intrigued as season 11 Vanderpump Rules just to see the fall of Rat House, like we've talked about. Yeah. That'll be amazing. That's coming in January too, probably, right? Or maybe February, like 2 weeks after Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, and now I'm kind of afraid because I'm already down on Danielle for taking Lindsay back. But after the season of this unbecoming season of Winter House, I'm like, oh, am I just gonna fully turn on her and she's gonna be my enemy now?
No, you never will. Danielle will always get back in your good graces, I think. Okay, all right. Well, we'll see. I don't begrudge Danielle for going off on what happened. She was just drunk and sad, which is a horrible combination.
Sure, but it made me question her judgment, which was already in question for forgiving Lindsay after what she did to her.
All right. Well, can Danielle ever be good again to Amy and I? Find out when we recap Summer House this season. I was trying to think very last minute. I was just trying to think of if there was anything to meme about the why'd you bring it up Sutton when her saying it over and over again. And I was trying to equate it to Olivia talking about Elvis, but I don't really have a good meme that I could think of that could incorporate Sutton's new refrain. So...
Right.
Maybe that's something we could workshop after.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
Like when your friend wants to talk about Elvis and you talk for 2 hours about it and then it says Sutton, well, then why'd you bring it up? Why'd you bring it up? Why'd you bring it up? Right? Is that too wordy?
It's like when you're trying to talk about the Beatles and she brings up Elvis.
Then why'd you bring it up? Right? Is there some merit to those?
Yeah, we have to figure out a hook that's a little better, but I think we can get there.
But you there's something there, right?
I think so.
Okay, good. All right, well, I just want to say to, you know, our little turtle cuties, this was a bonus, right? I mean, it's only going to be an hour and 5 minutes. It's just because we didn't want to wait 2 weeks to talk about Winter House. You know, it was a big part of our lives. We wanted to recap it. We were available on Riverside, you know. We put on our Santa hats, and we just wanted to give you a little extra... But I would really probably consider, you know, Wednesday's episode as like our holiday, beautiful, fun episode. And this is kind of just, pretend this is tacked on to that last one. You know what I mean? Just a little bit of a bonus, right?
Yep. Holiday bonus plus 2 Patreons will be available Christmas Day and New Year's Day. And then we'll be back at it January 5th will be our next new regular episode.
Yes. So Little Turtle Cuties, you have a little bit of a, you know, a week to wait before we come back, but our Villa Rosa VIPs are eating it up over the holidays. Yeah. Christmas Day and New Year's Day. We're not stopping for anything. We've got those episodes locked and ready
no
to
crumbs.
Be listened to. They're eating no crumbs, but our Little Turtle Cuties, unfortunately, you can't have us for Christmas unless you pay $5 on Patreon. I'm sorry. That just has to be how it is.
I will say, as a podcast listener, it's bleak out there. I'm going to have to start listening to some audiobooks.
Whoa. So we're in a little bit of a podcast drought?
Yeah, everyone's going home for the holidays.
Okay. Well, I'll say, definitely judge us based off Wednesday's episode. And then, you know what I mean? Don't put
too
much
stock. I thought this
was strong. Oh, good. All right. Well, good. Well, I'm always pretty negative on how we did after, but there were some moments. I really regret saying that thing about Katie's feet, and I'm debating whether I'm going to edit that out.
You're not going to edit it out. I just thought it was disgusting.
I'm so sorry. I don't think I shouldn't have never said what I said. I should have said another dirty analogy, and I'm worried about it, but you don't think it's edit outable? You don't think I should?
No, you should definitely leave it in.
Okay, I'm sorry that I said that. And I think it was I think actually there was a little bit of a glitch in the audio on Riverside, and I didn't actually say that thing, that specific thing. So that you might have heard something different, Amy, than what I said. And I think our Little Turtle Cuties did as well. can I just see one second if you can hear a little media clip in your ears? Can I just test that for one second? Okay. All right. What, 1 second? It's loading. Oh my gosh. Okay, Riverside is such a bummer. Oh
wow, something's coming up.
Oh no, I don't know what that is. Okay, all right, never mind. Okay, of course. You heard that?
Is that TMZ?
Yeah, that was a transition to say this episode is over, and then I wanted to do this one other thing that's not working. Oh, it's cheering. Riverside is so, well, sorry, I'm not going to talk shit about it, but this cheering
option.
We
pay for it. It's not Spawn.
Right. Okay, that was it. I wanted a little bit of a round of applause to celebrate Amy and I's, year. This is the last episode of the year for our, Little Turtle Cuties. We love you so much, and thank you for being a part of the Turtle Time journey. I think I can speak for Amy when I say we are coming back better than ever, our adult year. This was our little, childish whimsy, like you said, but we are coming back strong in 2024, right?
Yeah, rested and ready to jump into what I would call our high season.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, and Turtle Time's not ending in 2024, right?
If we can survive, I think we can make it past, but I'm already planning on I assume that Vanderpump, if it adheres to the normal schedule, will be done at like end of May.
Yeah.
And I have a trip planned in June, and I'm like, that's when my break will be because we're going to be run ragged by then.
Oh, I can't even imagine the things that will have happened by then. Who knows where we'll be and what the universe will be like. All right. Well, Amy, thank you for taking the time. Little Turtle Cuties, thank you for listening. I hope we did Winterhouse justice because it was a good season of television and very fun. And we're going to leave you now with hopefully sweet thoughts and beautiful dreams. And then we'll see you back in 2024, right?
Yes. Happy holidays and happy new year.
Okay. Happy new year, everyone. We're leaving now.
Bye.
Bye.
This one's for you tonight.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.